Welcome to episode 22 of I'm Trying to Think.
Is this last week? Because if this is last week, then that's what you should have said.
Welcome to episode 23 of I'm Trying to Think. Yeah. I'm your host, Chuck Warner. With me, as always, is Dave Stern.
Hey.
And this is the best Hanukkah music I could find, Dave. I mean...
Is it actually just this loop over and over again?
I don't... Well, you get... They're gonna sing in a moment here. There we go. Obviously doing kind of a, you know, new rap kind of thing.
It's kind of like... bad, like, it's like bad native tongues, or maybe they listen to Manas Yahoo and they're trying to do like a light reggae. I don't know, it's something, it's not good, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's not
good. I mean,
good.
You know, let me just give you a little lesson in the spirit of Hanukkah, okay?
Go ahead.
Hanukkah's not about the music, clearly, because that's terrible.
Clearly.
Hanukkah is about lighting candles, eating some fried food, and small amounts of gambling over chocolate money.
See, that's a holiday what Hanukkah's I can get about. Into. That's a holiday, especially if the gambling is good.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, the dreidel is a, you know, it's not super strategic, but, you know, it's maybe like a...
It's like the roulette wheel,
it's like a B-minus B gambling game.
It's the Juulettery. That didn't really work. I'm Trying to Think as a podcast sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you could visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. You could friend us on Facebook by going to Facebook and searching for I'm Trying to Think. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/imtryingtothink. And you can email us at contact@imtryingtothink.com. And you can stalk us by searching on our names because we give them at the beginning of every show.
No, not me. I'm Google Invisible, man.
Oh, right.
You can't touch me.
Dave is Google Invisible because of the NBA's president.
Dave Commissioner Stern. Of Basketball. He masks me. It's also just a very common name generally. But it's mostly that guy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, on the downside, though... That does mean every couple years in my life, it's basically one of the two annoying things that happens with my name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you, I'm not sure if I've ever asked if you have any of these. You can go into that afterwards if you do. But basically,
all right.
The two annoying things that happen to me intermittently with my name are, one, like, and these are the things where it's like, the person who does it always thinks it's very clever.
All right.
And, like, maybe I would not have heard it before.
Okay.
But someone will try and give me the nickname Kamish. And the second thing I get is, you know, like, I think this actually happened to me coming back from Thanksgiving in the airport. I'll get, you know, oh, you're related to Howard? Those are the two things that I get on a pretty solidly semi-regular basis.
People who say, are you related to Howard, have no concept of how common Stern is as a name.
Oh, God, no. Clearly not. Because there's...
I don't get anything like that.
It's a pretty common name.
There are no Chuck Warners anywhere. Some people say, like, Warner Brothers, and I'll be like, no, those are Warner Brothers.
Right.
With an A. And I have two E's.
Do you get anything about the ladders? Because that's a very dependable brand of ladder.
Very rarely. There's a trucking company. Sometimes people talk about that, but that's all.
Yeah. I should give you crap about that brand of ladders. That's my favorite brand of ladder.
All right. Well,
true
I mean,
story.
As far as ladders go, it's probably my favorite brand. I mean, it has my name on it, first of all.
Yeah, it's got your seal of approval.
I wouldn't say that.
If you didn't like them, why'd you put your name on it?
If I liked it, I should have put a ring on it.
Are you putting your name and possibly a ring on inferior product? That's what I'm asking
you. It's incredibly possible. But Dave, the only nicknames I've given you, or that I've either given you or I will refer to you as, is David Bernstein because of your deep and profound love of David Byrne.
Fair.
And Dave Larry, which is just your first and middle name.
Well, my first and not at all my middle name.
It is your middle name.
No, not really.
It's L. You're David L. Stern.
Correct.
Obviously, it's Dave Larry.
That's the part where that falls off the rails. In terms of actual...
That's impossible.
That's where that falls off the rails in terms of factual correctness.
That's impossible.
I mean, it's something I'm willing to work with. But I'm just saying, you know, if you're staying in the realm strictly of facts, it's not a thing that's correct.
I don't know how I feel about this realm strictly of facts.
Dull, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just not. It's not as shiny. Since I'm Charles F. Warner, what would your first guess be for the F? You know, I think what it stands for. But what's your first? What would be your first guess if you didn't know?
If I didn't know what it actually was, I'd probably go Frankfurt.
Frankfurt. You're close. It's Frank, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew Francis, but I'd have gone.
No, it's not Francis. Oh, is it? It's just Frank.
Oh, it is literally.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. My grandfather's were Charles Otto and Frank Charles. And he's not a Francis.
I thought it was
either.
A Francis.
He's just Frank.
Oh, I would have gone Frankfurt, but.
Yeah, I'm gonna you know, name my child after me to some degree, and I'm gonna go with Frankenstein, because Frank is kind of boring.
Right.
Charles Wolfgang Otto Frankenstein Werner. That's gonna be my
a lot
first
of
male child. May he be a manly child. A handsome child.
I was gonna say, little bit of a sissy troll. I'm just making my prediction off the bat.
Oh, sissy troll.
Prediction off the bat.
And see, will he have the hair that you can blow on or run your fingers through?
Oh, yeah.
Will he run around naked and have no genitalia?
Yes.
And if so, how will I know he's a male child?
I will say yes, yes, no, and he will also have a gem in his belly.
Oh, nice. Can I rub the gem for good luck?
Yes, you can.
Well, then, I'm in favor of this child.
Yeah.
Let him be brought forth into the world.
I mean, I wasn't saying, just so you know where I stand, you know, on these sort of issues of equality and gender and all that.
Right.
I wasn't saying he's going to be a sissy troll as a value judgment that is negative against, you know, trolls or sissies or nothing.
Right.
I'm just saying that's what I think he's going to be. And I accept that.
See, as a proponent of gender equality myself, I think both men and women can be sissies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sissies out there. A lot of sissies. That's just me. All right, Dave, let's move to our first topic.
Okay.
Our first topic
is
very simple. It's just hilarity. And it is as you pointed out to me a little bit ago, Bob Dylan has released a Christmas album.
Yeah, and the thing that's great about it is 100% non-idiosyncratic. It's just Christmas standards being sung by Bob Dylan.
Yes.
And they're orchestrated as very typical schmaltzy Christmas standard orchestration.
Yes.
Except Bob Dylan singing them. You know, and it's definitely, you know, it's modern, you know, extra croaky Bob Dylan.
Yeah, his voice is strained. But if Saturday Night Live or your local radio DJs were to put together a joke...
Yeah,
about
or
a Bob
you.
Christmas album. Or you, or just
yeah,
anybody.
Just you doing
somebody came
joke.
Out to you and said, hey, you know, what would a Bob Dylan Christmas album sound like? And you would belt something out, and you would not be far off. If I may, Dave, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Go for it.
Goodness. Let's see, that's a lovely just
it's
opening.
It's just classic Christmas schmaltz.
Very classic. And then we get into the Bob Dylan portion of it.
Hark the Herald Angels.
You can't make that any funnier.
No, it's perfect. I mean, and the money goes to charity. Like, it's...
Do you think... The only question I have is, do you think he's aware of how...
Of the, basically how
hilarious
it works?
This is, yeah.
I think my answer to that question would be... Look at the music video he did for one of the songs off this album. I can't remember which song it is off the top of my head.
Okay.
But look for the Christmas music video he's done of it. And I'm 90% sure he's totally in. He's totally in on the joke.
Awesome.
Like,
because
it's a it's a sublimely ridiculous video.
Well, we'll link that in the show when we post it.
Yeah, in the show
it,
notes.
So
we will link
that
up.
For that. But does the video have him having the lyrics to the song on cards? And then he drops them.
No, I believe
I would
video,
watch it. Like,
I wish,
you know,
or just like Santa,
like
death.
Cards that cards
Blitzen,
that was like he just drops it. It's
Blitzen.
Like Donner, Cupid, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen.
Yeah. No, it's
Comet,
actually basically
Cupid,
it is a raucous house party Christmas romp.
How does he get to that point in his life? Is it interesting fella he is, and now you can see like this. Who is this?
Oh, this is the backup singer.
And there he comes. Bam! That's beautiful. Anyways.
I mean, I think the key is the longer a Bob Dylan lives, the more different ways he has to zig and zag to continue being inscrutable. You know, that's why he did, like, the Victoria's Secret commercial.
Okay.
That's why, you know,
He doesn't want you to know what's going on in Bob Jones' brain.
He has to keep being a step ahead. And the more weird things he's already done, the more different weird things he has to do.
It's like, you know, an arms race.
With himself.
Weirdness with himself. With us to a degree, too, because we're the ones he's messing with.
Yeah. It's
the ones who pay attention.
It's a beautiful career, really.
I would... Yeah, I mean, I could go that way. I could go that direction in life. But I just kind of wonder, he had that 60 Minutes interview a couple years back, I think. And he had said, you know, that he didn't really feel like he was that talented or that interesting or anything like that. He put himself down a little.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. And maybe he, you know, backed off on making new music and stuff too. He didn't feel it as strongly.
No, he's put out a couple in the past few years.
Yeah, but I just mean...
He's got his crazy radio show. Yeah. He's keeping busy.
And he... But then just out of the blue. He's been in the business forever. Could have done a Christmas album at any time. Out of the blue. Bam.
Now,
he nukes you...
With a Christmas album.
With Christmas radiation.
No, that's the secret. I mean, once you've been in the business long enough, you need to just start being very inscrutable. I mean... Lou Reed recently put out an iPhone app, but here's the thing about Lou Reed's iPhone app. It has nothing to do with music. It's literally just an app to enlarge text so older people can read it.
All right, Lou Reed.
Nothing to do with music
whatsoever.
Take
a walk on the wild side there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
make
don't,
text bigger.
But don't strain your eyes while you're doing it.
So, okay, just, you know, I like to be observant of tiny details and minutia and then talk about it because... What else is there in life than minutia? So, Bob Dylan Christmas album. Bob Dylan, of course, is, well, he's a Hanukkah man.
Yeah, yeah. He's a Zimmerman.
Jew. Right.
He's a Zimmerman.
He's a Zimmerman. So, I was curious, you know, how's that going to reflect? And here's the lineup of the album. Here Comes Santa Claus, okay?
Right.
Do You Hear What I Hear? I don't even know what that song's about, I'm going to be honest with you. Winter Wonderland. So far, not non-denominational, right?
Right. Although, remember, he did have his Christian years.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, mid-70s.
I'm supposed to remember this shit?
No, the mid-70s, he pissed a lot of people off because, you know, he wouldn't play his old stuff. He made, like, a bunch of religious albums.
Oh, nice.
And just played them.
Well, see, I'm no Bob Dylan biographer, so.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. But that kind of ruins my whole bit, but that's still fine. I'm going to go forward anyway.
Yeah, no, keep going.
You got,
keep going.
And then Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Bam.
You religious.
Know, pulling it down. I'll Be Home for Christmas, non-religious. Little Drummer Boy, back to religious.
Yeah, religious. I mean, solidly religious.
You know, I guess solidly. Jesus is right in there. I'm just saying, I don't think a lot of people think about, and you're not going to hear Little Drummer Boy in. Well, maybe you will hit it in church. What do I know? When is the last time I was in a church?
I don't know from church.
Exactly. The Christmas Blues, that sounds just, I mean, that's, I've never heard of that song. It's probably a cover. Maybe not. I trust Bob Dylan to deliver the Christmas Blues unto me, though. But not right now. Oh, Come All You Faithful, you know.
Classic religious.
Yeah. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. Must Be Santa. Silver Bells. The First Noel. I don't like that song at all. It's really dull. Anyways.
And also, I'm
Christmas
sure,
Island.
By the way, as a quick aside, I'm okay, pretty sure the ridiculous video is Must Be Santa, now that you mention it.
All right, good. The Christmas song, I don't know what that is. I'm not going to listen to it right now. And Oh Little Town of Bethlehem. So it's 50-50. If you were going to do a Christmas album, give me like three tracks that would be on it.
All right, let's see.
I bet the first one you and I agree on 100%. Father Christmas by the Kinks.
Fantastic.
Best
Fantastic.
Christmas song ever written.
Yeah. That's quality. I go Father Christmas by the Kinks.
Mm-hmm.
Homo Christmas by Pansy Division.
And?
Might have to go Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
Oh, man. Digging deep into the hole there.
Deep cuts.
It's not really a deep cut, but I mean, it's like I said, digging deep into the hole. The hole where they put the bad Christmas songs. And you dug very deep into that hole.
I will excavate into that mine solely so I can come out with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
All right. Well, I'd go Father Christmas, number two. There's, see, There's a double problem here. One, you know, also, I actually like a lot of Christmas songs.
One thing I want to point out quickly, because I just sort of thought about it a little, and I just wanted this on the record, that in terms of what of the two songs that we didn't both just sort of, that aren't Father Christmas that I picked, the one that you immediately gravitated towards as bad was not the one with the lyrics, licking nipples, licking nuts, sticking candy canes up each other's butts. That is not the one you singled out as bad.
I pretty much threw that. I just didn't even want to. I wasn't going to address it. I was going to let people go out, do the Google searches.
Find it themselves.
Find it themselves. Party on.
And I think that song really just makes itself with me, just with the line, "Don't be miserable like Morrissey." What better holiday advice can you have?
It's pretty good advice. Actually, and I'll get to a song that has broken through into my top three. But first, the top three would normally be Father Christmas. And then I think I'm going to go with Christmas at Ground Zero by Weird Al. I know that's a
comfortable
geek choice.
With it.
But
I'm comfortable with it.
The reason isn't just because, haha, it's funny. But it is funny. But the arrangement of the song has a part where there's just kind of a typical Christmas riff being used while air raid sirens play. And the arrangement is just perfect. They sound really, really, really good together. So that, I mean, it's actually a quality issue for me on that one.
All right.
All right. And then number three, I'd probably go with something traditional. Little Drummer Boy. Something like that. Just something easy. Mm-hmm. I always like that song with the Pa-rum-pa pum pums.
Yep.
When I was in, being a huge dweeb, when I was in high school and doing the chorus thing, I was bass, so I get to be like, bum, 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 you know, that kind of thing.
Man, that must have been a great chorus.
It was really annoying. By the end, you were really tired of saying, but it was fun. I mean, it was kind of a fun song, but by the end, I was like, come on, no more bum, bum, bums. I'm done. Done with the bum, bum, bums. Anyways. the new song, though, that I would throw into that is something they're running on Nickelodeon. That's kind of a short commercial with song part in it. I don't really know what they're... I mean, I guess they're selling SpongeBob to you, even though you've already bought it because you're watching Nickelodeon and you're 31 years old and
you just took that to a...
And
you just took it to a dark... We're going to a dark place this Christmas.
Dark place is my life.
I think it's a dark place. Yeah, I'm calling you out. I'm putting you on the mat.
I feel very light about it. I'm very happy. I like SpongeBob. It's just the way it is.
I know.
But there's a song that they play, and they play a video it's not really a SpongeBob video, but SpongeBob is singing the song. And the chorus, and probably the name of the song, is "Don't be a jerk, it's Christmas."
That's fair.
And he talks about things like, don't get into the express lane if you have more than 12 items, and things like that, which I really like. That's a cute little thing. Like, and again, I think, as a celebrity of No Jesus Christmas, I think Christmas is for everybody. For you, for me, for them, everybody.
All right.
And on that note of unity, we're going to move out of this segment and take a short break.
Okay.
And we'll be back.
Sounds good.
With more of I'm Trying to Think. And welcome back to episode 23. Of I'm Trying to Think.
I really hit that 23 hard.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm proud.
Bam! 2-3. I'm Chuck Werner, and with me as always is Dave Stern. Dave Stern.
Yeah.
Dave Larry, as we call you, as they call you, because of your middle name. You hail from Boston.
That I do.
Beantown.
Some people call it that.
The place where the new kids on the block are from.
True. I lived a block and a half from Jordan, I think.
There you go. I was listening to some just random music this week, as I do. And I listened to Dirty Water by the Standells.
Great song. Great song.
So for most of my life, though, I had no idea that song was about Boston, but I was listening and realized, oh, yeah, they say Boston, you're my home.
One, Boston, you're my home is the main line in the chorus.
Yeah.
Two, it's talking about the Charles River.
I trust you. I don't know anything about Boston.
Down by the river. Down by the banks of the River Charles.
Oh, okay. I don't listen to lyrics of rock music. That will get you fucked up, man.
Yeah, probably. It's not
unless
good
it's
for
Kashmir
you.
By Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. It's got lyrics?
Yeah, man.
Huh.
It's the bomb. Those lyrics are the bomb.
But anyhow.
I'm never going to say that again. Anyways, but the dirty water thing, it's a little bit degrading. And I was wondering, how do you feel about that song and other songs about your city of Boston?
Well, with Dirty Water, there's a couple things about it. One, Standells, not a Boston band. It's actually kind of surprising because it's sort of such a Boston-y song.
But he says, Boston, you're my home.
That's a lie.
Oh, my.
If I recall correctly, that is a lie.
I don't know. It's possible.
However,
what do I know about the Standells?
I'm definitely for that song because it is the Boston Red Sox just won a game and they play it at Fenway Park song. So, you know, there's positive vibes.
Bostonians
like that song, you know. Charles River, not so much dirty anymore. It's less dirty than it was back in, you know, the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's like a Boston song that, you know, Boston has kind of owned as a thing.
All right, let's look at other Boston songs.
Yeah, if you want to run them down,
here's one
I'll give you Bostonian opinions on them.
Here's one that thousands of people are hearing and not even knowing, which is I'm Shipping Up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys.
Mm.
It's in a NFL commercial now.
Oh, yeah, it's in the NFL commercial. It was in, and this is where, honestly, the worm kind of turned for me is.
Turny worms.
Dropkick Murphys, like, big for, like, the past, like, maybe decade.
Yeah.
Decade and a half, especially in Boston, like.
Mm-hmm.
Way bigger in Boston. You know, it's one of those things, I mean, it's not quite like one of those bands where they're huge in one city and unknown everywhere else, because they were, like, semi to decently known anywhere else. But they're massive in Boston. So you get kind of tired of them. I know, I still like them. They're still good. But, like, also, especially Scorsese was kind of a nail in the coffin with the Shipping Up to Boston thing. Like, it's a good song, but after you used it, like, 27 times in The Departed,
yeah,
I was kind of done with it.
Well, and The Departed was, it's kind of a detriment to Bostonians for many reasons. First of all, apparently everyone in Boston is crooked, which I had no idea.
Yeah, that's not inaccurate. I'll go with that for now.
And, secondly, it makes everyone want to hear people talk like Southies.
Yeah. People get really surprised. I actually had this happen to me a couple days ago. People get really surprised when they learn that that's a specific, like, there are parts of New England that talk like that. Yeah, it's a Boston Southie thing,
yeah.
You know. There are parts of other, basically, what it is, pretty much, it's a New England Irish Catholic accent.
Right.
Well, I mean, Irish Protestants probably also have it. I don't know. It's just when you think Boston and Irish, the Catholic kind of flows naturally from that.
I think most immigrants who came to Boston were Catholic because the whole Britain isn't thing.
The Troubles.
Yeah, the Troubles.
That
the Trouble
thing,
time.
Yeah. But basically, it's a kind of New England Irish. You know, there's the Rhode Island, you know, Seth MacFarlane does it on Family Guy one, which is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still is kind of a, you know, New England Irish thing. Then there's, like, you know, the Pepperidge Farm guy in New England thing.
Pepperidge Farm guy remembers.
Yeah. Then there's just, you know, most people talk pretty normal. Besides, like, a couple, like, weird regionalisms just in speech, you know, it's mostly pretty normal.
Right.
So some people are always really surprised when I'm not, like, a guy from Southie.
Okay. Sweet Baby James by James Taylor.
Not super familiar with it. I like James Taylor, you know, when I'm in the mood for something that mellow, that's still about cocaine.
I mean, yeah, vaguely.
Yeah. No, it's just really, that's probably the most relaxed music ever to be written about cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, he felt pretty, he was probably writing it on the downslope.
Yeah,
Coming out of it, you know.
It's that kind of music, but I mean, that song's mostly about going from the west to the west, part of
it's
the state to
the east.
It's all about
all kinds of crazy stuff.
Right?
Though that's the second verse. The first verse is more about like a cowboy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's about a cowboy. Who knows? And then the second verse is like, was it going down I-90 west to east?
No, it's, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's, if he says Stockbridge to Boston, then yeah, he was going from west to east.
He's going from the Berkshires. But I think, if I remember that song correctly, there's some sort of quibble where it's going to take, how long does he say it's going to take? I think
he's 10 miles behind him.
Yeah,
and
that's
10,000 more to go.
Okay, now here's a fact about Massachusetts. I'm going to drop a fact on you.
All right.
Not 10,000 miles long.
All right. Well, maybe it was a metaphorical 10,000 miles. I don't really know why he's driving from Stockbridge to Boston.
Well, because he wants to get to Boston. You know, he's in the... I don't know. I mean, I've driven kind of the opposite thing back when my sister went to school in the in the western side of the state, you know?
All right.
So, you know, maybe he was visiting a friend at Smith College.
How about the band Boston, period? Because everything they do is obviously going to be Boston-related.
I don't know. I thought their stuff was mostly spaceship-oriented, actually.
That's
like they
just
were
the album
called
covers.
Boston, but they were singing about spaceships.
No, they were doing album covers about spaceships.
Okay, I'll just say the band Boston, it's a pretty good song.
The band Boston is a pretty good song? About Boston or
no,
just in
no,
general?
I'm just saying the one song they wrote, it's a pretty good song.
Oh, you mean that... It was just no. You see, here's how it works, Dave. They wrote one, like, musical melody and arrangement. Then they turned it into a lot of songs by putting different words over top of it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's that one riff with the kind of muted
like
little
the
guitar
Ramones.
Thing. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, definitely is what that answer is right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're like the Ramones.
Like AC/DC.
They're like the overproduced Ramones.
Yeah, most of AC/DC is the same kind of stuff. You know, it's just, you know, some guy playing metal under it. The same metal. Over and over again. And see, the Cars, actually, another Boston band, delude you into thinking they have, like, one song and they're playing it differently. But then you get, yeah, like, you listen to a whole album and you're like, oh, no, you guys
it's
actually
like, no,
have
they got a couple.
It's just that apparently the only hits you could make...
are the ones that sound, like, the same. Yeah.
Are the ones that sound very similar, at least. With different speeds. Because, you know... there's slow ones and there's fast ones. But so the band Boston, though, it, you know, surprisingly did not seem to sing about Boston very often.
No, I think they covered it with the name. They're just like, okay, Boston, we're done with that topic. It's in our name. Now we're going to sing
Brad
about...
Brad Delp is
going
to scream at the top
of
his lungs.
Mostly nothing. I mean, their songs aren't really about anything.
How he has more than a feeling, and he has peace of mind, and he has... Well, I mean, Amanda, I guess, is pretty much.
Yeah,
the only thing he has.
They're not. They're sort of about girls.
And sometimes
but,
he smokes.
Yeah, they're sort of about girls, but they're.
And it's been a long time.
The lyrics don't matter. The lyrics don't matter.
How about Jonathan Richman? Sings a lot of Boston songs. Roadrunner.
Oh yeah, Boston guy.
Boston-y. Like,
strongly pro Richman. I mean, Roadrunner is like that's actually something I'm kind of annoyed about is. I'm just curious, like, and you can answer this after I go over my thing, but basically that's one of those things where, and I'm curious, because basically if you've ever had any songs or artists like this,
okay.
When you feel like you hit them at the wrong point in your life, like, because when I finally started listening to The Modern Lovers, and, you know, Roadrunner, which is a song about roads and places and grocery stores, which... Throughout high school, I was routinely driving by and driving on with, you know, with the radio on.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard until I was already in college and living in Pittsburgh. So I just feel like that was a swing and a miss, you know? I should have been listening to those songs at the point in my life where I was doing the things that were in the song. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would say maybe I could have probably done better in life if I had started listening to The Cure and Morrissey.
Dave here, coming at you live from the editing room, deep within the heart of the auxiliary studios of I'm Trying to Think. Now, at this point in the live record, Chuck went on to talk about the music he listened to during high school, including, you know, such artists as Elvis Costello and his song My Dark Life. It was a great couple minutes. It was witty, insightful, maybe a little poignant, aching, and nostalgic. So, naturally, I fucked up the record, and we lost it. Sorry about that, folks. I have been demoted, my paycheck has been reduced accordingly, and we will now leave you to join our show in Act 3. Bye.
And more of episode 23 with your host, Chuck Warner, and my lovely co-host, Dave Stern. You are lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a nice day to compliment. It's Hanukkah.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. So that's your gift for today.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
How many days have I missed, though? Is this like day four? Today's eight?
Today is numero tres.
Okay, so day three. All right. Well, day two and day one I'll take care of down the road sometime.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. It's all pretty flexible.
I'm glad.
No worries. No worries. No rush.
I feel pretty good about it. Okay, I did look into My Dark Life. I think maybe Elvis Costello feels bad for this, the character that is in My Dark Life. And that's why. It's not sarcastic. It's just the character talking. I don't think Elvis Costello is saying he has a dark life that he wants to complain about or tell you about. But rather that he is empathic to someone who does.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
That Elvis Costello, he an empath. And he's also watching the detective.
Yeah, empathically, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to feel the detective. All right, well.
That's great. A different song.
All right.
Feeling the detective.
Oh, I have a great story for this week in the news.
Okay, I like news. Is it news I can use? That's my favorite
kind of news. Oh, it's news you can use.
Is it about several items under my kitchen sink that can kill me?
No.
Okay, good, because I think the only things under my kitchen sink are like pipes, a box of trash bags, and possibly a spare old pair of Venetian blinds I'm not using. Which could probably strangle me if I, you know, was stupid.
Okay.
Very stupid.
A friend of mine who lives not in the area, I don't actually know where she lives, but she lives at some point.
In a different area.
Their condo area where she and her boyfriend cohabitate. Against the will
the
of
will
God,
of our Lord,
let me tell you.
God, yes.
But apparently they've been told or they were warned or they were notified that a man in the complex was slapped by a bear.
Slapped by a bear.
Slapped by a bear. Not mauled, not bitten, slapped by a bear. Like, now here's the kicker.
Open
there.
Paw?
Here's how it becomes, I would have to assume. I wasn't there. You know, Mom, this is second
hand. Was it maybe back paw?
It's possible. But this is where it becomes news you can use. Authorities, just adding that part, but authorities suspect.
Condo authorities
suspect that he was feeding the bears rotisserie chickens. So that's where it becomes news you can use. Because apparently bears get sick of rotisserie chicken, and they will slap you. Don't give me that rotisserie shit. Whack!
That's...
I just don't
get it.
That's
a good story. Like,
can't you just get the raw meat and throw it? What is a bear? What does it care? Well, you don't have to get it rotisserie. It's not fancy.
My guess was he getting rotisserie chickens specifically for the bears, or did he just have
one would
rotisserie
have to assume
chickens?
You can't just be sitting around with rotisserie chickens... You know, to share with the bears. Obviously, you're buying them probably with the bears in mind. And not the Chicago Bears, mind you.
Yeah, yeah. I assumed we were talking about, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that
bears.
Refrigerator Perry would love for you to buy him some rotisserie chickens. But that's a different story.
I hate that I find that funny. I do.
It's sad because he has had a sad life. But
it's also sad that it's just like, in terms of a Chicago Bears joke, you're just pulling back 25 years at this point. Just straight to the fridge.
I'm going back
straight to the fridge.
The Super Bowl Shuffle era, yeah. So those were the bright days when NFL teams could make albums. The halcyon days of the 80s. Anyways. So don't feed the bears rotisserie chickens. I just want everybody to know.
That is useful to know.
News.
Because they will slap the hell out of you.
That's
apparently
what the segment. They will slap the shit out of you. Don't be feeding, you know, rotisserie chicken. Whack. He must have been surprised at some point. Like, I gave you a rotisserie chicken and you're going to slap me? No, you know, also, this, here's the further thing. You know what
this reminds me of?
Here's the next degree. So he's slapped by the bear, and the bear moves off, apparently. Then he goes and tells the authorities. Or he's got to tell somebody for them to find out that he got slapped by a bear.
Yeah. Like, you know
what somebody I mean? Had to be alerted.
I think this, what this says is basically, it says a lot about, you know, man's inability to truly understand and control nature. Like, basically, I'm trying to think, there's a quote that I'm trying to remember, but I'm misplacing. You may be able to help me. Is right. That thing, what is it? The history repeats itself, you know, one time as tragedy, the second time as farce, or something like that. It's something like that.
You're on the right track there. I'll refer to the internet very quickly. And
so, basically, what this reminds me of...
Yeah, you're dead on. History repeats itself. First... as tragedy, then as farce.
Okay, so what this reminds me of
is... Yeah, who said that?
I don't...
According to the internet, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, who knows? The internet tells you a lot of people say a lot of things.
But I don't want to say anything about your political leanings here, Dave, or your American or un-Americanness.
But...
Karl Marx.
Okay. But anyhow...
Because let me tell you what Karl Marx was concerned with, holy... tearing down this country of ours...
Okay, so, anyhow, after I make the brief point that the workers should control the means of production...
Go ahead.
I would like to say that what this reminds me of, sort of, is the farce version of Werner Herzog's Grizzly Man. Are you aware of that documentary film?
Yes.
So, if that's the tragedy, I feel like this is the farce.
There's a lot to be said about it. There's something to be said for that, yeah.
Because, you know, it's the same lesson. It's the same instrument of that lesson.
It is.
I.e. bears.
Bears.
But instead of a man being, you know, killed to death by bears...
Killed to death.
...for his hubris...
Yeah.
...he just gets a bear, just slaps the shit out of him.
Timothy Treadwell.
And instead of Timothy Treadwell's, you know,
right.
hubristic back-to-naturism...
Yep.
...it's rotisserie chicken.
I mean, there's hubristic. Do you think it was hubris that Werner Herzog was showing us in that documentary? Or do you think it was kind of like...
it's a certain kind of hubris, I think.
There's a hubris to thinking...
To thinking that you can...
That you have some control.
That you have this understanding and control. And can commune with this sort of impersonal force that is nature.
Right, but, and by the same, see, I think it's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's the same message to say that it's live by the sword, die by the sword, or that it's kind of...
Or in some cases, you know, live by the rotisserie chicken, die by the slap.
Die by the rotisserie chicken.
No, in this case, just die by the slap.
Well, I mean, you know.
Did the bear slap him with a rotisserie chicken?
It doesn't sound as good, live by the rotisserie chicken, die by the slap. Then you completely separate yourself from the original
aphorism. You lose the parallelism. Yeah. You lose the beautiful parallelism.
I know. So, Grizzly Man, Werner Herzog does a documentary about a guy who, you know, is hanging around with bears and nature and everything and gets mauled by a bear to death.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I've always thought that it was... Well, always. I just thought that it was
not a little always, bit about like... always. Stand by your original stupid opinion. You always thought.
Power that this guy is embracing, you know, this foreign world kind of, like, the world of nature, which we are a little bit separated from as human beings.
Right.
And his, like, what his conception of nature was, we were definitely separated by it. But in his conception of nature was brutality... You know, I mean, that's why we've moved from that world.
Yeah, but I think...
And the brutal world of nature is what caught up to him. It is I mean, you know,
I think
Hobbes would have something to say here about,
absolutely.
You know, the Leviathan.
Think my guess is what kind of his opinion on bears, and again, I'd need to see the movie again. It's been a long time, but I feel like his opinion on bears was kind of like... In some ways, kind of like the noble savage thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, wow, nature is this... harmony and beautiful, and then it, you
and
know,
it
bites
is.
His fucking face off.
Nature is harmonious and beautiful when we apply those words as definitions of nature. Yep. There is a harmony if you look at it as a cycle, as a food chain.
But that doesn't mean bears won't bite your face off.
Exactly. That's a part of the harmony, that they attack and defend themselves or are aggressive against other creatures.
It's the circle of bears.
Yeah, it's the circle.
And they rip your face off.
Yeah, exactly. That's a beautiful song, Dave.
I know.
Call Elton John. Let's see if we can get that shit recorded. Yeah,
Circle of Bears.
Circle of Bears. All right, well, I think with Bear Slap, that pretty much sums up episode 23 of I'm Trying to Think. Is there anything you want to add to this delightful pile of poop that we've shat out today?
Man, I think you just, again, I keep on wanting to just go any direction that's not the poop metaphors, and you just diving right in. Swimming on in there.
Also, you know what's interesting? Like, I never thought about this before, but is shat equally as offensive as shit? I mean, I don't think either one you can say on TV.
I'd assume so, because it's the same word. I mean, it's a grammar. It's
conjugated.
It's syntax,
I mean, I guess fucked and fucking are all.
Yeah, I mean, a gerund is just as bad as anything else.
Participles are just as bad as verbs.
I mean,
they consider those, when they contain those four letters in that arrangement.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even care if it's in the subjunctive. You know, you're not even allowed to say, would I shit? Yeah. You know, I might shit. You know, you can't say that.
There's also, I just like an injection here of a thought before we sign off. And this is going to come out of left field for you, but here's your Boston brother. Who you know, took over Conan's spot on the TV show there. Jimmy Fallon.
Is he actually from Boston? I'm not 100% sure on that.
Pretty sure. He just talks, he does Boston-y things a lot, so. All right, the internet's going to have to tell me. Are you ready?
Yeah, I mean, he might be. I might be wrong about this.
I feel like
he was from Massachusetts at some point.
That makes
or
him
there.
He was born in Brooklyn. That's like Boston.
No, not really.
No.
Brooklyn is in New York City.
Yeah, and
that's a different
his family
city.
Moved to Saugerties, New York. Yeah, I don't know. That's nothing.
Yeah, nothing. I think you're just getting confused because he was in that shitty Fever Pitch movie.
Yeah, he went to Albany. Well, he also did. There was a skit he was in consistently that was.
Yeah, he was
Boston,
in that Boston
Southeast
sketch
accent.
With a not,
right, well,
not great accent. But
Jimmy Fallon, who pretends to be your brother in arms from Boston. Anyways, he has the show now. He's on the Conan.
Yeah, yeah. He's
weeks
on
and weeks ago, just talking about vulgarity and the hilariousness of, when you break it down, how ridiculous it is that words or, these arrangements of letters are offensive just because they're offensive, not because they signify something like, for instance, the N-word or something like that. They don't have a history that we can recall, like fuck, shit, damn,
Well, they have, it's a good solid Anglo-Saxon history
to them.
Yeah, but
none of us can determine. I can't tell you why actually, we don't know why fuck is a curse word. I mean, people argue and debate as to, where the word even came
why
from.
It became
yeah.
What it became.
We don't know where it came from.
I mean, I had always thought that it was basically the kind of thing is when, the Normans had conquered, England, sort of, the Saxons being the losers, their, catchy four-letter words, seemed vulgar and common and low.
It's possible. I don't know.
That was
but anyways,
what I had thought it was.
There's a documentary.
That may or may not be right.
There's a documentary on the F word. I'll just watch it. It's on Netflix. And next week, report on the F word.
Sounds good.
Regardless. So you can't say it on TV. It's ridiculous at its core, So he tells a Sarah Palin joke. Sarah Palin had said, and this is the rough equivalent of the joke, Sarah Palin had said that Obama's economic plan was back-ass words. Okay, haha. Something funny, right? And then Jimmy Fallon said, that Obama's response was that when it came to the presidencies, Sarah Palin was ucking fun qualified. Okay? So he's basically just said the equivalent of the F word, or insinuated the F word. fine.
Yeah, but this, no the problems. Secret of the TV.
No one even talks about it. I mean, it wasn't even really, it was couched in a joke, so that lightens it even more. Yeah, no one's going to talk
about
it. It's
because the TV thing, it's all about, like, the signifier, not about the signifier.
It is.
It's all just purely about 100%
that's the
precise definition of the word.
Right.
It's absurd.
All that matters is the syllables that are pronounced, not the content.
Yeah. Someone ought to bear slap some sense into them.
Yeah, they should. Well, you know.
Ideally a bear.
You know, plug a guy I like. Patton Oswalt does a bit about that, too, about
the cleaned-up filth.
Cleaned-up filth is even more scary
and
disgusting.
His cleaned-up filth is a great bit.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So if you can do that, check that out. Patton Oswalt is funny. Do it. All right, but that's the end. We got to stop talking about all this stuff. We'll go on forever. Thank you for listening.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. One quick final question.
Final question.
Final question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you just fed a bear a salmon, do you think he wouldn't slap you? Do bears just like salmon better than rotisserie chickens?
Okay, my thought on it is if you keep feeding them salmon, eventually you're going to get slapped. Bears are omnivores. They want a variety.
Okay, so you're thinking you should have come in with, like, a salmon, some nuts and berries, then maybe a rotisserie chicken?
Right. Give them some variety. I mean, you know, it's an omnivore in nature. It's like a raccoon. We're going to feed it different things, you know? Like, pretty much your garbage if it's a raccoon. But anyways, thank you for listening to episode 23. Don't get slapped by a bear. We will be back next week. Maybe I'll watch that F-word documentary and give a report on it. Maybe not. Who can say? It is a world of mysteries. Dave, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think that covers it. World of mysteries. Perfect note to fade away on.
Thank you one more time for listening to I'm Trying to Think. And tune in next week for episode 24 from our beautiful Pittsburgh, not Boston studios. We bid you adieu.
Bye, folks.
I'm gonna tell you a story.